Bible reading to Luke chapter 10, the 10th chapter of Luke's Gospel, and we're going to read the last few verses of the chapter, commencing at verse 38. Luke chapter 10 and 38 verse. We welcome you along tonight. It's good to see so many gathered in to our prayer meeting. It's always an encouraging thing, and we trust tonight that God will bless our hearts and meet with us here as we seek to meet with Him. If I can remind the members of our school committee that we have a committee meeting after the prayer meeting, we'd appreciate if you could wait a little time for that tonight also. Luke chapter 10 is a very familiar passage. I wanted to just read really my text tonight from verse 38 to the end of the chapter. Now it came to pass as they went that he entered into a certain village, and a certain woman named Martha received him into her house. And she had a sister called Mary, which also sat at Jesus' feet and heard his word. But Martha was cumbered about much serving, and came to him and said, Lord, dost thou not care that my sister hath left me to serve alone? Bid her therefore that she help me. And Jesus answered and said unto her, Martha, Martha, thou art careful and troubled about many things, but one thing is needful, and Mary hath chosen that good part which shall not be taken away from her. Amen. We'll finish at verse 42, and we trust that God will bless his word to our hearts. It's really that 42nd verse, that last verse we've read, that I really want to focus in on. And that little phrase, one thing is needful. And Christ goes on to explain that Mary hath chosen that good part which shall not be taken away from her. Personal fellowship with Christ. One thing that's needful. With our Bibles open there, let's just pause again for a little word of prayer. Our Heavenly Father, we thank thee for the reading of thy word tonight. I pray, Lord, that thou would write these things upon our souls. We pray, Lord, this might not merely be an incident from the past that we ponder in some sort of historical way. But Lord, write the truth of this passage for our hearts upon our souls tonight, and draw us after thyself. We pray, Lord, that thou wilt help us as we seek to have those times of personal fellowship with thee. And speak to our souls tonight. And I pray, Lord, that thou wilt speak to me and speak through me now, and put thy word in my mouth and fill me with thy spirit. I pray for Jesus' sake. Amen. Christ's earthly ministry was often met with carefully planned and at times intensely fierce opposition. The Pharisees and scribes, those men who rejected Christ as the Messiah, made no secret of their attempt to hinder his ministry. They moved the people to speak and act against him. They devised plans on occasions to have Christ arrested and taken away. There were occasions when they encouraged a hostile response as Christ preached and taught throughout the land. That's why there are occasions recorded in Scripture where men sought to stone the Saviour and have him depart from their midst. And very often you'll discover on those particular occasions that behind the actions of the multitude or the men who were doing that kind of work were the strategies and the schemes of the scribes and Pharisees themselves. And John had it right when he said that Christ came unto his own, and his own received him not. Very often the Lord Jesus Christ, throughout his earthly ministry, was despised and rejected of men. Now while that was true of many, it was certainly not true of all. For when the Savior came to Bethany, he received a very warm and a very genuine welcome from Mary and Martha. These two sisters, together with their brother Lazarus, were true believers, and they had a genuine love for the Lord Jesus Christ. Their hearts had been opened, and they had received him as the true Messiah. And as a result of that conversion experience, where they came to know Christ personally, they showed a tremendous love for him. When others hated him and others rejected him, they were faithful and loyal to him. And so when the Savior came this way and came into this little town of Bethany, it was natural, it was usual for him to go to their home and spend time with them. The interesting thing is this, that while these two women, Mary and Martha, were one in Christ and knew the same Saviour, they were complete opposites when it came to their personal and individual personalities. Martha, on one hand, was a very active, anxious, concerned, and at times easily troubled kind of person. She did not hide her feelings. She did not try and conceal her emotions, whereas Mary, on the other hand, was the exact opposite. She was the quiet, meditative, thoughtful, and peaceful sister. Both knew Christ, but both had entirely different temperaments. I think that truth is very obvious when you turn over to John chapter 11, and that chapter records for us the death of their brother Lazarus, and a word has been sent to the Lord Jesus that he whom he loved was sick, and Christ, of course, comes to the home, and by the time the Saviour comes, Lazarus has passed away. And in verse 20, you see the two different characteristics of these sisters very much to the fore, because whenever they heard that Jesus was coming, verse 20, then Martha, as soon as she heard that Jesus was coming, went and met him, but Mary sat still in the house. Martha was out there. She went out immediately to meet the Saviour. She couldn't wait for him to come right into the house. As soon as she heard that Christ was approaching, she made it her business to go and meet him. And of course, as soon as she meets him, she makes the statement, had the Lord been there, her brother would not have died. But all the same time, Mary's sitting in the house waiting for the Lord to come. They were very, very different. And I think what you have there in John chapter 11 is a very, very interesting scene. They were the same as far as salvation was concerned, but they had different personalities. And that's something we ought to note, just by the way, that not every Christian has the same personality. Some are like Peter, boisterous, outspoken, always there first and foremost. Others are like John, calm and collected, and just simply happy and willing to wait upon the Saviour in a quiet way. But God is able to use all kinds in his service. And God is able to use all kinds for his glory. The church at Antioch was made up of believers with all kinds of different backgrounds, all kinds of different preferences and different personalities. But God had a work for them all to do. And that's the case between Mary and Martha also. And the difference between these two sisters is very clearly seen in Luke chapter 10. Christ had come into their home, and as he was sitting with Mary before him, Martha interrupted. I think it's very clear that she was agitated. She was annoyed at what had taken place, and she spoke to the Saviour in a way that was both unwise and improper, because she said to Christ in verse 40, Lord, dost thou not care? That's a very serious charge to lay against the Saviour. Dost thou not care that my sister hath left me to serve alone? Bid her therefore that she help me. And it's very clear from those words in verse 40 that Martha wanted the Saviour to order Mary into the kitchen. She expected the Lord to chastise her and to correct her. She was expecting the Lord to take her part and to rectify what was, in her mind at least, a very unfair and unjust situation. But Christ did not act as Martha expected. Instead of rebuking Mary and sending her to work with her sister in the kitchen, he challenged Martha and reminded her that there was one thing that was needful, and that Mary, and not Martha, had chosen that one thing. Now the focus of this exchange between Christ and Martha centers on the very obvious subject of personal fellowship with Christ. Taking time alone with him. Waiting on the Saviour, sitting at his feet. Engaging in personal communion with the Saviour. And by making this statement, as the Lord does in verse 42, and by challenging Martha's distracted and anxious way, for that's what's in focus when it speaks there of Martha being troubled, the word is that she was distracted. And by making that statement, the Lord made three great truths regarding a vital part of living the Christian life, namely personal fellowship with Jesus Christ. I want you to see in the first place, for that's my theme tonight, personal fellowship with the Savior. You'll notice first of all the special importance of fellowship with Christ. No one ought to question Martha's love or Martha's devotion to the Savior. Her actions in that home that day were born out of true affection and a genuine interest in the Lord Jesus Christ. Her service and all the work that she was engaged in was genuine. She gave herself wholeheartedly to her labor for the Lord. She displayed a very earnest, very active, very busy spirit as she served in that home. Everything about Martha indicates a desire to do her very best for the Lord. But in the midst of all of that busyness, Martha had missed something vitally important. She had set a great value upon her service. But when Christ gently rebuked her and said, "Martha, Martha, thou art careful and troubled about many things, but one thing is needful." When the Lord Jesus Christ made that statement, he was emphasizing that communion with him was far more important than any other activity Martha could ever engage in. With those words, Christ placed a very special emphasis upon fellowship with himself. If you mark your Bible, you ought to mark the last words of verse 41 and the opening words of verse 42. Christ says, "Martha, Martha, thou art careful and troubled about many things, but one thing is needful." She was busy with many things, and she believed that those many things that she busied herself with, she believed in her heart that those things were of the utmost importance at that time. But Christ reminded her that those many things were not as important as the one thing Mary had chosen. That word "needful" that's used there in verse 42 carries the idea of a demand or a requirement or something that is absolutely necessary. And when the Savior said to Martha, "One thing is needful," he was simply stressing to her that while other things may have been desirable, and other things may have been proper, and other things may have been profitable, and other things that she was engaged in may have had their place and been worthwhile and been valuable, this one thing was absolutely essential. In fact, I think the text goes on even further than that and makes it clear that fellowship with Christ cannot be done without. If you look at what the Savior says very carefully and ponder the message that he gives to Martha, "Martha, Martha, thou art careful and troubled about many things, but one thing is needful." It's almost as if he is saying, these many things that you're engaged in are not needful, but this one thing absolutely is. I don't think the Lord Jesus could have emphasized the matter in any stronger way. Martha had been taken up with preparing the meal. She had been taken up with the cares of the home. She had been taken up with domestic duties, doing something for the Savior. But more important than any of those things was the issue of sitting at the Savior's feet. And believer, is that not where we often go wrong? No, misunderstand me here. I'm not suggesting at all that Christians ought to be careless and lazy. Christians ought to be active in their service for Christ. A believer, above all people, ought to be earnest in his legitimate work. We ought to be faithful in our family duties. We ought to be earnest. We ought to be hard working in our employment. But far above any of those things, and far more important than any of those things, stand this all important matter of personally and quietly and humbly sitting at the feet of Christ and learning from him. There is nothing more vital This is surely what the Lord is teaching here. There is nothing more vital, nothing more valuable for the believer than personal fellowship with Him. I think at times that kind of thinking is foreign to many Christians. Now, I appreciate tonight that time is at a premium. And believers are generally living very, very busy lives. And very often the complaint is, very often the cry is that we just don't have enough time. I mean, all the duties, all the responsibilities that we have at work, at home, wherever we are involved in, it's almost as if we haven't enough hours in the day and enough days in the week to do all the things that come to our hand. What is sacrificed when that's the case? What is it that's squeezed in our life when we discover that time is at a premium? The thing that's most likely to be squeezed and the thing that's most likely to be sacrificed is time with the Lord. We somehow or other imagine that we can push that to the side. And we make the same mistake as Martha. We imagine that other things are necessary and other things are needful, but Christ says one thing is needful. That's personal fellowship with Him. Why does Christ place such a special importance upon this? I think there are a number of reasons. Personal fellowship with Christ is essential if we are to have victory over sin. We were thinking last Tuesday evening of the fact that the devil tempts the believer. He is relentless in his attacks against us. He's powerful, he's subtle, he's bold, he's determined. And we are no match of ourselves for the devil. How therefore can the Christian resist the temptation? How can the child of God, faced with such an onslaught by the devil, how can the believer have victory in the midst of such an attack? Well, the answer is through the Lord Jesus Christ. If you look at Hebrews chapter 2 and verse 17 and 18, you have a very timely word there regarding the subject of temptation and how we can have victory over it, how we can be strengthened in the midst of our temptations. And in Hebrews 2, 17 and 18 you have these words: wherefore in all things it behoved Him, speaking of Christ, to be made like unto His brethren, that He might be a merciful and faithful high priest in things pertaining to God, to make reconciliation for the sins of the people. For in that He Himself hath suffered being tempted, He is able to succour them that are tempted. How can the Christian resist temptation? How can we stand in the midst of all of this barrage of attack from the devil? By being succored and strengthened by the Lord Jesus Christ. And believer, victory over sin necessitates fellowship with Him. Is that not where backsliding commences? When we begin to feel in our personal fellowship with the Lord. Before backsliding ever becomes a public issue, it has started in the heart. Most normally, most usually, it commences with a failure to meet with Christ on a personal level. Something happens, time is gone, the day's away, and we lose out with meeting with the Lord. Or the morning time is too busy. Or that time that we normally set aside to meet with Christ, something else comes in, something else eats up that time, and we lose out with the Lord. And when that's allowed to happen time and time and time and time again, we lose our victory over sin. Personal fellowship is essential if we are to have victory over the devil. But not only that, personal fellowship with Christ is essential if we are to know the will and mind of God for our lives. How else can we learn the way that we should go? Except we wait on Christ. Except we get before Him. In John chapter 10, numerous references made there to the fact that we are His sheep and we hear His voice. And as sheep who hear His voice, we follow Him. And of course, that's a vital part of living for the Lord, hearing His voice. How can we hear the Lord's voice if we're not sitting at His feet listening to His word? That's what Mary was doing. It speaks of that in verse 39, she sat at his feet and heard his word. And I'll come back to that in a moment or two. But that's essential for the Christian. If we're going to know the mind and the will of God for our lives, believer, it's essential. This is one thing that's needful. If we're going to know the direction, the path that God would have us to take personally in our lives, we need to get before him and take time with his word and fellowship with him. Not only that, but personal fellowship with Christ is essential if we are to grow spiritually and increase in the knowledge of the Savior. There are no shortcuts to spiritual maturity. How can we know more of Christ? How can we, as Paul had the desire when he said that he might know him and the fellowship of his sufferings and the power of his resurrection, how can we know more of Christ if we don't spend time with him? How can we know more of his blessed ways? How can we know more of his perfect person? How can we know more of his work in our lives and the great mercy and grace that he has shown to us and continues to show to us if we don't take time with him and listen to his word and meditate upon it and spend time in prayer? How are we ever going to grow in grace if we don't sit at the Savior's feet? Again, personal fellowship with Christ is essential if we are to become more and more like him. The secret of conformity to Christ is communion with Christ. When we see him face to face, the Bible tells us we shall be like him. So if we would be more and more like Christ now on earth, the secret to that is to see Christ in his word. It's to fellowship with him. It's to meet with him. And if we see Christ, we will be more and more like him. We become what we behold. Of course, that's true in every situation, and the opposite of that is true. Let a believer gaze on the values and the ideals of this world. Let a believer feast on those things. Let him drink in those things. Let him spend his time in the attractions and the enticements and the allurements and the entertainments of the world, and that's exactly what he'll be like. That's how he'll think. That's what will motivate him. That's what will direct his steps. But let a Christian who wants to know what it is to go on with God, let that Christian meditate and fellowship with Christ, and the more he does that, the more he will become like the Savior himself. Christ did not speak these words to Martha without good reason. Thou art careful and troubled about many things, but this one thing is needful. There is one thing we all need, and Christ is putting a special importance upon it. That's the point I want you to see tonight. This is not Martha or Mary putting this importance upon it. Mary does, but it's Christ here who's speaking. In the midst of all of Martha's busyness, there was one thing needful: fellowship with Christ. And believer, in the midst of all our busyness, whether it's in our home life, our work life, even our church life, in the midst of all of our busyness, there's one thing that is absolutely essential, and that's personal fellowship with Christ. There's a special importance placed upon this. You'll notice the supreme interest that's also mentioned in this passage for fellowship with Christ. When Christ entered into that home in Bethany, both Mary and Martha had opportunity to meet with him, and both had opportunity to sit at his feet. Both knew he had come into their home. Both knew him personally. Both believed on him, and both had opportunity to meet with him in a very personal way. Now, while those things are true of both Mary and Martha, only Mary chose to seize this opportunity and sit at the feet of Christ. That's emphasized in our text. Look at verse 42. One thing is needful, Christ says to Martha, and Mary hath chosen that good part which shall not be taken away from her. Mary hath chosen. Now that little word, chosen, indicates that this was a deliberate choice by Mary. She actively chose to sit and learn of Christ. Now the word chosen, the Greek word that's translated chosen in our English Bible here, is a very particular word with a very important significance attached to it. It's a word that means to select for oneself. A personal choice. And it carries the very strong idea of choosing something out of love. That's what the word means. And if you consider that in the light of this event, it's clear that Mary deliberately selected for herself that she would sit at the feet of Christ out of love for him. She chose this. So when Christ makes this statement and says, Martha, Martha, thou art careful and troubled about many things, one thing is needful, and Mary hath chosen that good part, he not only puts a special importance upon the fellowship with himself, but he indicates a special interest. Mary had shown a special interest in fellowshipping with the Lord. I think that ties in very well with the words of David in Psalm 27 and verse 4, when David makes the great statement there regarding his desire and the chief concern of his heart. He says in that Psalm, Psalm 27 verse 4, one thing have I desired of the Lord, that will I seek after, that I may dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life, to behold the beauty of the Lord and to inquire in his temple. Notice what he is saying. One thing. Isn't that similar to what Christ says in Luke chapter 10? One thing is needful. And if I can correspond with what David is saying, he says, one thing have I desired. That's the thing that I long for more than anything else. And that will I seek after. This is not just an idle desire that he has. He says, I will seek after this one thing. What does he seek after? That he may dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of his life. That he may be in God's presence. That he may behold the beauty of the Lord. That he may gaze upon the Lord's face. And that he may inquire in his temple. He may make his requests unto the Lord. You could summarize it in what David is saying is one thing I desired after. And I will seek after this. I will seek after it with my whole heart. That I may fellowship with my God. Mary had chosen that part. She had shown a very particular interest. A very particular interest in meeting with the Lord. Now what does that involve here? You'll notice first of all it involves separation. And there's a hint of that in verse 40. Martha was cumbered about, much serving, and came to Christ and said, Lord, dost thou not care that my sister hath left me to serve alone? Bid her therefore that she help me. I think there's a hint there in verse 40 when Martha uses that phrase, my sister hath left me. There's a hint there that Mary had been working with Martha when the Saviour came. Maybe even for some time after the Saviour had come into their home, she had been working with her. But the time came when she left Martha and went and sat at the feet of Christ. In other words, she came apart. She left those duties. She left those many things that Martha was engaged in. She left those things that were troubling Martha and making her anxious and distracting her. She left them all behind her, and she came apart, and she met with Christ, and she went to where Christ was in that home, and she sat down at his feet, and that involved an act of separation. She came apart from other things just to be with Christ. that not what the Saviour stressed himself in Matthew chapter 6 and verse 6? But thou, when thou prayest, enter into thy closet. When thou hast shut thy door, pray to thy Father which is in secret. And thy Father which seeth in secret shall reward thee openly. Three phrases are used there to indicate a coming apart. Enter into thy closet. Shut the door. And when thou art in secret. Three phrases indicating getting alone with Christ. And believer, that takes separation. In Mark chapter 6, in verse 31, when the disciples were busy and the multitudes were around them and pressing in upon them, the Lord Jesus Christ had a message for them at that time. He knew the impact that that was having upon his followers and upon their fellowship with him. And the Lord Jesus Christ told them at that time to come apart and rest a while. Mark 6:31. They hadn't time to eat. They hadn't time to be with the Saviour alone. And he said unto them, come ye yourselves apart into a desert place and rest a while. For they were many coming and going, and they had no leisure so much as to eat. And they departed into a desert place. But remember this, they were with Christ. When he said, come apart a while and rest, it was a coming apart unto Christ. A coming apart to be with him. A coming apart that they might be enabled to fellowship with him without the distraction of the multitudes. We discover later on in the chapter that the multitudes came and surrounded them. But there was a coming apart. And believer, if we're going to fellowship with Christ, if we are as interested in this matter as Mary was, we need to leave certain things behind us. It might mean that you change your plans for the day, for the evening time. It may be that you change your entire routine. But remember, this is one thing that's needful. And we need to get alone with Christ. There's separation. Not only is there separation, there's stillness here, because it speaks in verse 40 or verse 39 that Mary sat at Jesus' feet and heard his word. She did not hover in the doorway, balancing on her foot, almost giving the impression, well, I'm here, but I'm soon going to be away again. She came and she sat at the feet of Christ. Doesn't Psalm 46 verse 10 teach us, be still and know that I am God? When Mary came for this time of fellowship, she was willing to stay. She was willing to stay. This was not a split second kind of grab a word from Christ and rush along. She came to stay. There was a stillness in her heart. How often do we not come apart a little while, and before very long, sometimes we're ready to rush away again. With time for everything else in the world, but so little time to spend with Christ. Her separation, her stillness. Notice her submission. She sat at Jesus' feet. And she heard his word. She put herself under Christ's instruction. That's the thought here. She's willing to wait and hear and listen what Christ would say to her. And I'm convinced that when Mary came and Christ was there, and she came into that room where he was, and she sat down at his feet to learn of him, she was convinced that Christ had something to say to her. She was convinced that Christ had a message for her. And she was prepared in that moment, with all the other activities going on in the home and Martha busying herself with this and that duty, she was prepared to learn from him. Mary did not think for a moment that she had no need of such an experience. She was fully convinced that she needed to be taught of Christ. That's the mark of a disciple. What is a disciple? A disciple of Christ is one who is taught of Christ. And there she is at the feet of Christ, hearing his word, listening to him as he instructs her. And she submits herself to Christ. There's also her steadfastness here. For when Martha intervened, Mary did not rise up and go. Look at what is said there in verse 40. Martha was cumbered about much serving and came to him. She has come to where Christ and Mary are. She came to him and said, Lord, dost thou not care that my sister hath left me to serve alone? Bid her therefore that she help me. And Mary must have heard that. She must have heard that what amounted to a rebuke from Martha. My sister. Doesn't even call her by her name. My sister hath left me to serve alone. Bid her therefore that she help me. And Mary does not rise to go. Christ intervenes and Christ rebukes Martha. But Mary sat on, steadfastly waiting there before the Lord. How often, Christian, has it not been the case that we've been maybe sitting with God's word, maybe purposing in our hearts to have time with him, and then some distraction comes. And before we know, our time with Christ is gone. And we have missed out again with him. This was Mary's great interest. She chose to sit at Christ's feet. It was a deliberate choice that she made. There was opportunity for this. Christ had come. And she seized the opportunity and she sat at the feet of Christ. Makes me ask the question, is Mary's great interest our interest tonight? Is it the burden of our souls to meet with Christ in this way? Let me say this to you, this doesn't just happen. We've got to make a conscious decision. We've got to choose. That's what Christ is saying about Mary. She has chosen that good part. We have got to choose that this is what we want to do. And pray as we make that choice that God will give us the grace and the strength to carry it through and to meet with him. I know tonight that the devil will put every possible obstacle in our path. And he will make things that are unimportant seem important to us just at that time. And he will make things that are important, spiritual things, to seem unimportant. He will suddenly bring back to our minds things that we have forgotten to do during the day. And all of a sudden that thing that, well, it doesn't really matter whether it was done during the day or not, all of a sudden that one thing looms large in front of us and we can't get it out of our minds or out of our heads. And the temptation is, well, unless I get that dealt with, I'll not have peace to read or pray. So what do? We rise up and we go and do it. And we miss out with Christ. We miss out with Christ. The devil would have minor things appear major and major things appear minor, all with the purpose of entangling us in the affairs of the world, whether they're legitimate or not, so that he can hinder our fellowship with Christ. And we must resist him at all costs. There is a special importance placed upon this. One thing is needful. And there was a choice made, an interest shown, because Mary had chosen that good. Believer, let us copy Mary here. Let us resolve with God's help, because we can't do it without his help. But let us resolve with God's help to choose the better part. And to make time every day, I know that needs discipline, but to make time every day
meet with Christ. There's nothing that will cause us to know a sense of revival in our own souls more than that. Meeting with Christ. Then notice the sure incentive, or the splendid incentive for personal fellowship with Christ. Just very briefly, notice what Christ says in verse 42. One thing is needful, and Mary hath chosen that good part, which shall not be taken away from her. Christ commended Mary, and he defended her at this time. Martha, isn't it interesting that Martha would have wanted this time of fellowship to be broken up? That's what she says in verse 40. Bid her therefore that she help me. Lord, send her with me to the kitchen. Tell her to get up and do something. And Christ says, no, she hath chosen that good part, and it shall not be taken away from her. Christ commended Mary, and Christ defended Mary. And we come to have our times of prayer, our times of meditation. The Lord is willing there to defend us from every attack of the devil. And if we wait before him and resolve in our hearts that come what may, as much as lies within us, I know there are emergencies that come, and it's impossible sometimes, but ordinarily, let's resolve to meet with God, and God will have a blessing for us. Christ had a blessing for Mary here. That won't be taken from her. That's a good part. She's chosen the right thing. And I commend her and I defend her. Obviously, this was Christ's will. This was Christ's will for Mary. And by what he says to Martha, it was Christ's will for Martha too. One thing is needful, and Mary hath chosen that good part which shall not be taken away from her. Now there's an incentive for us. Fellowship with Christ will undoubtedly have the blessing of Christ upon it. If you wait upon the Lord, it will not be in vain. You take time with God's word, you will benefit from it. I know perhaps you come across a passage that's difficult to understand and you think, what is there for me? Well, ask the Lord to open your heart to that. Do some research, some study of it. Pray that God will open your eyes that you might behold wondrous things out of his law. Pray that he'll bless the fellowship you have with him. Pray that he'll help you to pray. Take time with him. Take time with Christ. For that, Christian, is the one thing that is absolutely needful in our Christian lives. We ought to be so many other things as believers. We ought to engage in so many other things as Christians. But this one thing is needful. And if we miss this, if we get it wrong here, and we're going to go wrong in so many other areas of our Christian life as well. When you think of what Martha is coming and saying, Lord, dost thou not care? She's alleging that Christ didn't care for her. What a suggestion. Sometimes we feel that way. If we could get alone with Christ and with his word and in prayer, we will learn as we fellowship with him, there's no one cares for us like Christ. Do you see the benefit of it? Getting alone with the Savior. You can get alone with him there and confess your sin in a way that you could never do in a public prayer meeting. You can get alone with Christ and you can tell him the burdens and the cares and the temptations that you face in a way that you could never do in a public service like this. You can just unburden yourself. And Christ says she has chosen the good part. and I commend her and I defend her. And there's a blessing for Mary. And believer, there'll be a blessing for us also. And if only we could grasp that tonight. That this one thing is needful among all the other many things you have to do in your life, and I have to do in my life, that all those many things, we can't afford to miss this one thing. One thing is needful: personal fellowship with Christ. And may God help us and give us the victory here. I suppose it's one aspect of Christian living where many Christians don't seem to have the victory. And then this part of Christian life is squeezed and squashed and almost forgotten. May God give us victory to sit at Jesus' feet. May God bless His word to our hearts tonight in the Saviour's name.